You're listening to Nick's Knacks on KFKA, hosted by Nick Kenny. Nick is the CEO of Nick's Knacks on KFKA, hosted by Nick Kenny, and the 2019 Greeley Chamber Ambassador of the Year. Nick's Knacks also touches on local and global issues through Nick's perspective, offering unique insights into the world's happenings. Prepare to learn something new in this thought-provoking and entertaining show.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Nick's Knacks on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA here in the Aloe Fiber Studios. Alyssa is out today. She is feeling unwell, but she'll be back next week. But I am redeeming myself with a special guest, Emilio Vallejos, who I share this on recently on the Nerd Show. You know how last week I was not present for the Nerd Show, and Emilio was going to be a guest, and I just bolted out of here, and he thought it was a prank. It was not a prank. I just left him by himself in studio with Scott on air and Micah behind the glass. What was that experience like for you, Emilio?
It was awful, actually.
Thank you.
Darthus Pincus.
I'll take credit for that. Well, not credit, but oops.
Yeah, and the best part was me having to peek over to the door continuously throughout the entire broadcast and just say, I was waiting for you to like peek your head around the corner and say, I gotcha. Nope, that never came. You actually just bolted and never came back.
Yeah, that was
not one word.
Exactly what happened.
I thought there was like a really horrible emergency that like something had happened to a family or a friend and you were like, oh crap, I gotta leave, because the look on your face was a look of horror.
Well, yeah.
Well, and I was hoping that something horrific happened.
Yeah for that kind of excuse to leave.
To stand me up. Yeah.
Exactly. No, nothing horrific. Just had to cover a trivia that I didn't know was happening, and my staff member couldn't do it. But that's a brand. Can't have the brand damaged. Or the bartender's getting damaged, you know, from them upset that the trivia person didn't show up.
So you'll just damage the Nerd Show brand.
We had quality. I knew Emilio would do great. Plus, I'm looking at this on the silver lining side, because that very day we were golfing, Emilio and I, and he was talking about how excited he is to get his own podcast going, trying to find names. So you know what? This was just perfect. I mean, what better way than trial by fire? Hey, would you like to just be a guest tonight? Oh, by the way, I really have to go. I'm sorry. Good luck.
Yeah, well, I learned a lot. So, expect great things from me today.
Yeah, you learned a lot. Don't depend on Nick.
Oh, he did. He roasted me pretty well at the Greeley Area Chamber of Commerce Leeds group that next morning. I think you said something about if you're looking for somebody to leave you at the altar, that I'm their guy.
Nick Kenny.
Wow. Can he? No, he can't, apparently. Oof. Well, Emilio, thanks for being on the show. We'll get into what you do a little later on, SBA lender. We know so much. I, after all these years of knowing you, I still don't really know what you do.
No, it's fascinating.
I bet. Riveting, I think, huh? Have you been watching the show Barry?
No.
Dang it. Micah has, and we don't cover this on the Nerd Show.
One episode left.
But yes, it is. If you haven't seen Barry, it's on HBO Max, now just called Max. And, you know, it's written and I think directed by
Bill Hader.
Yeah, Bill Hader.
Well, this he's co-writing and co-directing, but this season I think he's the sole director.
Well, his acting has been – I've seen stuff on Twitter over the years of how remarkable Bill Hader has been as an actor in this series, and I commend him for it. It is – I don't even know how to describe it. It's very dark. He was a former Marine who kind of went...
Once a Marine, always a Marine, so he is a Marine.
See? Well, we're going to talk to Emilio about that, too.
Semper Fi.
And anyway, his best friend is shot, you know, on the streets over in the Middle East, and he thinks he knows who did it and just rages on him, goes in, breaks into a house, and just starts shooting a guy. Well, he didn't actually shoot his buddy, and he was dismissed from the military and then became a contract killer. For his, I don't know, cousin or uncle.
I think he ended up being a family friend.
Yeah, who just molded him from a young age into being a serial killer, essentially, and he didn't know any better. So he was manipulated, and then he goes out to L.A. for a hit and ends up attending this acting class and then realizes he wants to become an actor. And it's why am I spacing on the day? Who played hold on a second. I'm going to stall for a moment. Who's the acting coach? I am so bad at actors' names. Yes, the Fonz. Who's that actor?
I always forget his name, too. I know him as the Fonz.
The Fonz. Henry Winkler. Anyway, he is the acting coach. Barry just falls in love with him, like always wants to please him. He finally gets accepted as an actor when he's trying to do a monologue, and the monologue is actually his story over in the Middle East. And it just blows him away. But then he realizes it was a true story. He's like, you can never share that again. Like, you murdered somebody and got away with it. So it's a fantastic drama. There's a lot of comedy in it, not like intentional comedy.
It's officially listed as a dark comedy. But the further the show goes along, the less comedy there is. So season six in this.
Four. There's only four.
Episode six in season four was all drama. Episode seven had some comedic elements to it, but it's basically this season is mostly drama, and it's really dark but very addictive.
It's part of the comedy that's there. I mean, the guy who plays Fuchs, I remember him from he was the doofus in Dodgeball. I guess they were all doofuses. But they end up beheading four assassins that come to his complex and sending him back to NoHo Hank, who's just a fantastic character. And so they're sitting, all these gangsters.
You're giving a lot of it away.
I'm trying not to. You'll forget all this. I don't think they're major spoilers. But they're talking to the mom and the daughter.
Spoiler alert.
This isn't the Nerd Show.
I didn't think you were going to give away spoilers.
Well.
Yeah, so we hit that button after we've spoiled?
Yeah, because we did that last week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't think Nick was going to give away spoilers.
It wasn't that big of a spoiler. You're not going to remember that. But the best part, they're all surrounding this mother and daughter, and they're just staring dead-faced like, we're not okay with what just happened. So the gang's all talking about how they could do things differently next time. Well, maybe I can take them out to a nice lunch before. And it's like, well, what if they're a surprise? Oh, yeah, you're right. I can't take them out to a nice lunch. What if we watch a movie and it's really loud, like Fast and the Furious 6, which is funny because Fast and the Furious 9 or 10 just came out.
25, I think.
I can't even remember anymore. Yeah. I've never seen one, and I never care to.
I saw the first one, and it didn't excite me at all. I don't care about cars. I don't care about racing. I like movies with acting and plot, and it really had no acting, and it kind of had a plot, which was stop the bad guy doing vroom vroom with the good guy doing vroom vroom.
There's a lot of somebodies out there supporting this franchise.
Absolutely.
Right?
Dumb people.
They've made a ton of films.
I don't know how. I just don't know how.
But here's a fun fact for you. Speaking of Marines that get into acting, not Emilio, Full Metal Jacket, the drill instructor, was actually employed by Stanley Kubrick to come in to coach the actor that was supposed to play the drill instructor. And after two or three sessions of that coaching, he's like, no, you're the guy.
You're doing it?
Yeah. And he was an actual drill instructor for the Marines, and that's why he was hired.
He died recently.
He did. And that kind of kicked off that whole career. And you've seen him in some other films. But, yeah, it's like you can't emulate that. These guys are screaming at Marines for years in a row. Yeah, they've got it down.
We're going to get into Emilio's experiences in the Marines later on in the show. But to wrap up, Barry, this season's coming to an end. One episode left. Highly encourage it if you're – I mean, it's just the characters are so complex. They're all idiots. I mean, I'll just say they're all idiots. Would you agree, Micah?
I wouldn't say they're all idiots. I'd say, and I'm not a psychologist, but like my diagnosis would be they're all narcissists, and their love of themselves tends to get in the way.
Except Barry,
of logic.
He doesn't love himself. He loved Fuchs.
He's a sociopath.
He loves Gene. He is. Oh, then my other favorite moment, and I hope you all forget this, spoiler alert, whoop, is when NoHo Hank goes with a rocket launcher and tries to fire a missile at the complex and misses. It's something so simple, was so stupid, and I laughed so dang hard. And he's like, give me another one. It's like, you told me we couldn't. We have budget cuts. Oh, it just made me laugh and chuckle, but. It's a fantastic show. One of the recent episodes this season was incredibly dark. I think what Micah was talking about, maybe it was episode 5 or 6 of season 4. And I would, if that's Bill Hader writing that, I mean, it wasn't jump scary, but it was really intense. You're on kind of pins and needles on what's going on. I would love for Bill Hader to direct a horror film. I don't like scary movies where they intentionally just throw things at you just to get that jump scare, but I love those psychological thrillers of, holy crap, these are...
A Quiet Place?
That was fantastic.
Yeah, I don't care about horror movies either, but A Quiet Place 1 and 2 were great. John Krasinski really should be commended for both writing and directing.
Yes. And you're right. The vast majority of horror films, suspense films, either are in one of those buckets. It's either quiet, jump scare, or it's over-the-top gore.
Mm-hmm.
And no benefit either way.
Yeah.
Like you have to have some sort of a storyline, or you have to have some sort of character arc or something on top of just being a horror film.
Did you see Nope?
No, I did not.
I haven't seen that one
yet.
Or
should I have said Nope?
No, you could have said Nope. I would have laughed.
Okay.
That was good. I watched it on the plane to Japan, and I enjoyed it. It was interesting. It was good. It was different than other scary movies out there, and I appreciated it.
Well, don't spoil that one because it's on my list.
I won't.
I haven't seen Us yet.
I don't think it's correlated at all. I think it might be the same director, but
it's the same writer director. But I kind of want to see them in order. Also, I think he's producing a series called Them, which is based on Us, somewhere in the same world.
Hmm. We Are Groot, maybe.
What about Cabin in the Woods? M. Night Shyamalan. Latest rendition.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I like to call him M. Night Shyamalan.
Trying to be a real actor as well.
Oh, really? How's that go?
Not bad, but not great. Not fantastic. And that's been most of his films after The Sixth Sense, right?
Yeah.
Just
Unbreakable
really...
was good.
I haven't seen Unbreakable.
So Unbreakable was the first in the Unbreakable series. Unbreakable, then the third one was Glass, and Split was the one in the middle.
But I didn't like the other two, so it kind of ruined the first one. I think he should have just left it at Unbreakable, right?
Science was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Signs was good. It was his last really good one. I did like Split, but it was his first few that were good. Village is where we really saw cracks in the writing.
I didn't care for Village.
I'm huge on suspension of disbelief, and I can get into almost anything, right? But at Signs, the second I saw the alien or the creature, I was like, okay, I think I'm out.
Really?
Like,
oh, my gosh.
I liked all the suspense up until that point. But I felt that wasn't pulled off, and I don't know why. I mean, not lack of CGI, or I don't know if they built a puppet.
Oh, maybe. I remember I was terrified when he's...
Were you 9?
No, maybe 12.
Okay.
When
a little older than you.
When he saw the alien on top of the barn, and you just saw the silhouette, I thought that was fantastic. It scared the crap out of me.
Sure, silhouette.
But then, yes, I guess when you actually see them, they're I would say they lost its... wow factor. It was still a good story. I think he did a good job of tying a lot of things together, and everything kind of happened for a reason to that family. It didn't seem to be that big of a twist to me like he's had in other ones that just were like head scratchers, like The Village. For me, I was supremely disappointed.
Well, and that's one of the challenges.
Great,
if that's your directing style and that's your writing style, and we're expecting that at the end, it's hard to live up to that.
Right, that's fair. Well, stay tuned for more Nick Snacks. We'll be back to dig into Emilio, who he is, why he is, and I guess what he is. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Nick Snacks. I'm Nick Kenny, your host, here with Emilio and Micah behind the glass. Emilio comes, all the questions we were going to ask. What is Emilio? He's an SBA lender. Who is Emilio? Well, he's an SBA lender. And why is Emilio?
Because SBA.
Maybe. We might be digging into that during this segment.
But not making a show out of it.
No.
Yeah, it's pretty boring stuff. So, yeah. Block off like 2 minutes.
Yeah, for SBA, yeah, I'm sure. SBA stands for Small Business Association, right?
I believe that's true.
All right. Yep. That tracks. What is the SBA?
The SBA is a government-funded program, and the whole reason the SBA exists is to encourage lending and grow the economy. So how do they do that? They offer, in part of what they do, government-guaranteed loans. So they'll offer a guarantee on a portion of the loan, and that's supposed to spur lenders to go out and make loans that they wouldn't otherwise make. So the conventional commercial business loan, typically, if you get above a small line of credit, has tons of collateral, typically commercial collateral, has a borrower with perfect credit, has been in business for a number of years, has perfect cash. Like, you're checking all the boxes, right? So we think of – I got to be careful what I say, but kind of the big bank lending model is these deals are perfect, right?
No risks or very little risk.
Very little risk. There's never no risk lending, right?
True.
As you know,
I
being
do.
Partly in finance. But there's this whole other segment of borrowers, especially small business owners, that there should be a loan product for them. And so who's going to make those loans? So the way it used to be back in the day is if you didn't qualify for a bank loan and it wasn't all of those things, then you would go to kind of hard money or expensive money or not get a loan at all, not being able to grow the business or expand. So they created this program. And what they do is they offer that, and they have some criteria. It's got to fit the box of all of their criteria. It can't be investment. You have to lend directly to that small business and blah, 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 blah. Then the lender, a bank, and it's mostly banks that do these, and any bank that's an FDIC or OCC charter bank can do an SBA loan, although the vast majority don't do too many SBA and USD loans. They do that loan, and with that partial guarantee, they're mitigating some of the risk of the loan. So let's say that we have a borrower who doesn't have – they want to lease a space. They want to be a restaurant. They want to be a startup. They're not going to buy a building. They're not checking all these boxes, right? They're not checking the box of collateral. They haven't been in business yet. The lender goes out and says, okay, well, I have this partial guarantee. Let me make the loan, and I'm mitigating some of that risk. I work for a bank that does a tremendous amount of these loans. We're number 11 in the nation of all SBA lending, and we do them nationwide. And that's the only thing we do, one trick pony. So kind of a unique niche loan product. But on the flip side of that, I get to interact and do loans with businesses that otherwise typically have been turned down by their bank, their banking app, and help small businesses. I've been a small business owner. So my wife and I own three restaurants. I had a mortgage business and a life insurance business. And obviously, since I have none of those, I can tell you the end of that story. But I think it gives me a unique perspective. And my goal always is, you know, let me help those borrowers and those small businesses that I can help. And let's get them the money if it makes sense. There's often times that I look at a loan and say, you know, I wouldn't want to lend you this money to help you go out of business in the future or struggle, or this isn't a good deal. So it's kind of the fun of what I get to do is I love those entrepreneurs. I love those small businesses and get to work with them on a daily basis.
So when you're going through, you know, you said a portion of it is subsidized by the federal government. What expectations do they have for the SBA as far as the successes of what y'all approve?
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the fun part of what I do, because we have all the normal lending criteria and process and collection of documents and all of that that you would have being a commercial lender. And then we have the government guarantee that we have to satisfy on top of that. So you really have to be in this business a while or have a great supporting team. And since I'm not that smart, I have a great supporting team.
Emilio is always selling himself short.
Yeah, to be able to do these SBA loans. And that's one of the challenges you find in banks that do SBA loans as a one-off. If they do one or two a year, oftentimes they don't understand all of those requirements, you know, and they call it the SBA SOP that you have to keep up on, which is millions of pages and you know, it's a pain, right? So you kind of have to be built for that in this lending. I say it's not bread and butter normal lending, but it's a nice little niche. And like I said, it gives us an opportunity to stretch on some of these deals and really help out some of these borrowers.
Where are these funds coming from the government?
From, well, I would say you, but I don't know. I don't know what your tax liability is annually. But yeah, it's funded, right? Like any of these other programs that gets approved.
So these aren't like federally secured securities or debt instruments that can people can invest in?
Not to my knowledge. No, there's no offset on that. It's just it's one of the federally funded programs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So. Wow. What's the most unique business proposal you heard in your time as an SBA lender?
I use this as an example, a terrible example of someone who has come to me for a loan. And all they need is $5 million to start a security company. They're sleeping on someone's couch. They've never worked in a security business before. But if I could just lend them the $5 million, they'd be able to start this company and they would kill it. Like they would just there's such a need out there in the market for these security companies. Yeah. Wow. So that's the loan program. But you know what? Honestly, even you know someone taught me this a long time ago. If people are asking you for money, let them leave with their dignity, right? So
don't do what I did and laugh.
So you try not to laugh. But, you know, you talk through it with them. The SBDC here locally is fantastic and great.
It's free,
nationwide.
Too.
It is free and partly funded by the SBA.
Yeah, nice.
So we send a lot of folks there and you know, especially early stage business ideas and that. But I really try to leave people with, hey, here's what we're looking for. Here's where you're at. How can we close that gap instead of just emailing them a declination or,
oh, sure.
You know, or sending them a text like, hey, nice try.
Yeah.
But a lot of the deals that I do, a lot of the loans I do come from other lenders and come from other banks. So they've been working with this person. They bank with them. They like the deal. They just couldn't get it approved. That's typically the stuff that falls off. So most of the borrowers I deal with, I've got a pretty complete package and they're close.
Now, when they do get an investment from you or a loan, let's say the business has been successful, they're ready for an upgrade, there may be a second location, whatever that is, do they go through you again or at that point can they go through a bank?
Well, that's the sad part of the story for me from a long-term relationship perspective is a lot of the businesses, if they're successful, we want them to go get that conventional funding. We want them to get those better terms. So oftentimes they'll leave us in a short number of years. But sometimes they do. Sometimes they come back and it makes sense because, you know, if you want to go buy a building and you want a conventional loan, I mean, the going rate right now for a lot of these banks is 30% down. We can offer 10%, 15%, sometimes as little as 0%. But that's a unique expansion deal. But so sometimes there's another reason to go with the SBA loan, even if you're paying a little bit more or it's a little bit longer of a process. But yeah, most of our borrowers, we're happy to see them go and go get that conventional funding.
Awesome. Well, you just closed a pretty substantial deal last Friday. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I think $3.6 million. But how long does that take? I mean, a process from start to finish with a deal of that size. How many months were you invested? What was your workday like working with this company?
This one was a little bit longer. I would say on average, our deals, especially because they're coming from other banks, are, say, a couple of months. But that's – I have a complete package to start with, and we're hitting the ground running because they've already gone and fleshed out a lot of that with another bank. And basically what we're doing is we're cleaning that up. We're asking for our additional documents and helping them kind of tee this up for credit committee. But, yeah, a couple of months at least is what you'd be expecting.
Boom. Well, that's Emilio, SBA lender. We talked for like 9 or 10 minutes, not just the 2 minutes that he thought. That was like half a year worth of commercials for the Leeds Group.
I apologize to our listeners.
Yes, so tune back now if you're just getting back. We'll be back after this break with more Nick Snacks. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Nick Snacks, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We are missing Alyssa today. She is out ill. But we'll have her next week to get our updates on astrology and other things, Alyssa. Other news. First of all, shout out to the Denver Nuggets for their first time ever winning the Western Conference Finals in their 40-year history in Denver. And let me just insert this. I'm not a basketball fan. I grew up in Indiana, and I am not a basketball fan. But I do appreciate that our collectively. The state's professional basketball team is kind of the underdog, even though they were a number one seed and taking names and kicking butt.
Well, that's because they weren't in New York or L.A.
Did you know, fun fact about Nikola Jokic, that he was actually drafted during a Taco Bell commercial break?
Nikola Jokic was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial break?
Yes.
I'm not a basketball fan either, by the way.
But, yeah, I saw that on Twitter as I was following because in this latest and I'm so glad they swept the Lakers. So glad. It's fun seeing all my friends who grew up watching this team and have yet to win an NBA title. I was the same way with the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm still that way now with the Bears, Cincinnati Reds. So my teams are But seeing everyone light up on social media, how excited they are, sharing memories of how they fell in love with the Nuggets many years ago. And wow, what the hell's with the media and the Nuggets the past series?
Yeah. I mean, the markets is a part of that, right? And that's one of the things they talk about, not just from sports casting, but just even attracting talent to the market. They say, like, Colorado, Denver, it's not a large market. So it's tough to get some of these players out here, right? They want to be in Miami. They want to be in L.A. They want to be in New York. But the other part of it is, yeah, they've never gotten this far. You got to get to the dance.
Yeah.
Like, nobody cares unless you win the last game of the season. Right?
So are they just spinning these articles about how close the Lakers were in some of the games just to appease all those fans from across the country? Or hell, one reporter didn't even know who Jokic was. And had never seen him play before. He's like, yeah. And I did hear a rumor yesterday. Who won MVP the third year where Jokic was supposed to win? Because apparently Scott was telling me this last night, Micah, that he complained to the NBA about how unfair it was, and then they changed their mind and gave him the MVP.
Yeah, because he allegedly hired a marketing firm.
Yes, to market him. Who was that?
Guy McPherson.
Oh, okay.
Again, I like football a lot, and then hockey's very far down the line. I also like boxing.
Well, it's fun to see, though, right? It's a local team.
Oh, it is.
Like Colorado, it's Denver, the Nuggets. They've never made it all the way. So
this is, already history. We could use another celebratory parade in Denver. Last year we had the Avs. This year the Nuggets. I think it's putting some pressure on the Rockies.
Next year the Broncos.
We'll see.
Get a little bit of opportunity to maybe recruit some additional players, right? You know, people want to go to a winning team, and sometimes money's the only decision maker, but sometimes these guys are looking at their legacy, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Want a ring, want a championship, want to win. So, you know, the Broncos for years and years, and I'm older, so I got to see them lose a lot of Super Bowls early on. But they made it and got to play, but really didn't get any of that respect till they actually won it. And that sometimes is just the case. The Lakers have off and on been a winning franchise, mm-hmm. right? The Cowboys is the one that always drives me crazy going to football, is because it's been so long since they've been good, right?
Oh, yeah.
They rarely make the playoffs. They typically are terrible. They have a fantastic fan base.
I would disagree with you.
Well, they have a very loyal fan base.
A very loyal base. Base of loyal fans. And then on that base, there's like an entire cake of really soft, gooey fake fans.
Yeah. Well, but they did win a bunch of rings back in the day, right? So they won those. So if let's just say you win a ton of championships all in a row, you're going to get to carry that for apparently decades to come. So
one mind shift I've had both playing hockey as a goaltender, not professionally, but those ambitions are still strong with me, is starting to have more appreciation for the opponent rather than just hating them because they're good. So I hated the Cowboys growing up because it seemed everyone liked them because their parents probably saw them win a lot of rings. But my uncle, who grew up in Guatemala and moved to the States with his parents, loved the Cowboys because that was the only football team he could pick up in Guatemala. So I think that's a neat connection. I'm like, okay, well, we all make fun of you because you're a Cowboys fan, but that's a neat bit of history and story. For those bandwagon fans that we see so many of, is kind of frustrating. Am I going to jump on the Nuggets bandwagon fan? No. Am I excited that the hometown team is doing really well? Absolutely I am. That's fun for all of Colorado. And my cousin in Indiana, he's a diehard Nuggets fan. He's staying up late because of the time difference. And his wife makes him put on oven mitts when he watches the game so he doesn't wake her or the baby up when he's clapping and cheering at the TV. And I think that's...
Are they nuggets oven mitts?
No, but I told her that's a great idea. And if you could go to craft shows or something, you should order those for your significant others who maybe get a little loud later in the nights when those games extend. And those are all Western Conference, too. So poor East Coast people are up to 1 in the morning sometimes.
You know, and if you're a bandwagon fan, that's fine. But stick with the team after.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's okay to jump on board. And, you know, oh, well, I've never really watched hockey, but the Avs are great, and someone took me, and it was a lot of fun. Okay, that's fine. Buy all the gear. Right?
Yeah.
But then support them and watch them.
When they're in their down years, yeah.
Don't switch to another team.
Be like someone like me. 17-0 or 0-17, you root for the team.
Yeah.
Now, I will say I'm a terrible Rockies fan because there's 500 games a year. Right.
Yeah.
And I can't keep up. So if they're doing really well and they end up in the World Series, I'm going to watch. But I'm not going to go buy a bunch of gear and, you know, post it all over social. But still, you know, support them. Maybe go out and buy a beer and a hot dog.
Yeah.
But yeah, just too much. And which is why I'm primarily an NFL fan, is because it's just a handful of games.
Yeah. And I suffer from insomnia, so I need to watch more baseball.
Oh. Yeah. But baseball.
Wow.
I don't even want to get to baseball. But how much time left in this segment, Micah? I guess not.
That much time.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk about the Greeley Grit coming to town after this break. Stay tuned. More Nick's Snacks coming up. Next, Micah's on it with the music today. Appreciate that, Micah.
I'm always on it with the music.
Well, you're vibing with my moods today. Sometimes it's just your vibes.
Time to play Cradle of Filth.
We were talking during the break. I've received some devastating news. The Umbrella Academy apparently has been canceled and not renewed for next season.
Was it really devastating, though?
No, because it wasn't devastating, but I would have watched it.
Last few episodes were just awful.
I never got into it. I'm currently rewatching Breaking Bad. My parents are watching that for the first time through, and I tell you, I love talking to my mom because she has a habit of, "Are you watching this? Oh, did we tell you you're watching or we're watching Breaking Bad? Yep, last week. But it's cool. I get to talk to them a little bit about the shows that I like, and they're broadening their TV viewership horizons a bit.
And I started Game of Thrones really late to the party, and one of the benefits was I actually had a ton of seasons I could watch.
Exactly. Right? Same.
Yeah. You start one of these series from the beginning, and you get a few episodes, and then you got to wait a year and a half, 2 years.
I have been enjoying that since on the Nerd Show we review things on a weekly basis, and my struggle with binging is I don't remember a lot of what happened when I'm binging. It's like, what, was this season one? No, it was season four?
It was years ago.
What? That's why I'm watching with Breaking Bad. I go, oh my gosh, I didn't know this happened in season one or two. I thought this was way later. So it's neat that when things come out for a week, I get to geek out a little bit, talk about it, speculate a little bit, and then I have something to look forward to. Like Sunday nights, it's been Barry. Ooh, 8 o'clock. I mentioned that to a friend the other day. She's like, what are you, 90 years old? You have to watch it when it comes out? I'm like, yes, I watch it when it comes out. It comes out at 8 o'clock, and I want to watch it because I'm excited.
No, by the way, I was absolutely wrong. According to BuzzFeed, production for season four is underway. I had heard it was canceled, but I'm kind of glad I'm wrong because I did really like the first two seasons, but this last season was a turd.
I like Micah just goes flip-flops. I'm so glad it canceled. Those last episodes are crap. I'm excited I was wrong because now it's season four.
Well, the third season was an absolute turd.
Wait. Is there a button for like a fake news release or fake spoiler? Can we create that? Because that's what
I'm
happened,
sure I can
right?
find
can it
one.
Be, okay. Can it be Trump saying fake?
Yeah. Let's come up with something like that.
Yeah, I could probably do that for next week.
Someone actually was devastated by this news, and they were tuning in, and they had to leave.
Yeah.
They had to shut this off. They said, I need a moment. They don't realize yet that it actually wasn't canceled.
Wow. Well, we're going to get on to something that's not been canceled. The Greeley Grit.
This came out 6 days ago, by the way, this article.
That's a week ago, Micah.
Yeah.
That's old news. I mean, Emilio had a massive deal go through on Friday, and by Monday he was being asked what his prospects were.
That's it.
So
what have you done for me lately?
Anything more than a day old, Micah?
Yeah.
Old news.
It's not breaking. Can't use the word breaking anymore.
Nope. But people are broken because...
I broke him for about 3 minutes.
That's what she said. I never have said that on air before.
And you have.
Have I? Okay, good.
You have.
I was like, wow. All right, anyway. Woo, the Greeley Grit.
I need crickets. Every time you say something really dumb, I'm just going to play crickets.
So the Greeley Grit. New minor league hockey team coming into Greeley. I actually ran into at Ann Helen's Coffee House in downtown a few weeks ago. Mayor John Gates introduced me to Luke McCroy, who was a former Avs player and played for the Rangers and the Kings and other places too. But I think he has a position either as a coach or investor or something with the Greeley Grit, which is a juniors team. So high school and college age students that are just on the cusp of making it to really minor league teams like the ECHL or the CHL, not quite the AHL, which is right below the NHL. A lot of acronyms. If you're a hockey fan, you get it. But these players are, phenomenal players, probably a little better than college kids, I think, because they're just on the cusp of professional hockey playing. But anyway, they're coming into town this inaugural season, and I'm actually going to a meeting tonight to become maybe a billet family. Have you ever heard of a billet family?
Nope.
It's a family that takes in these players through the course of the school year. That's when they play, their seasons are, and gives them a place to stay and provides meals. And you kind of are their quote-unquote parent or guardian for a year. You're there to chat with them, to help, encourage them, to kind of be their voice, both to the coaches, to the team, to them on, positivity and goals, and just chatting with them, building a relationship and a connection. And I have a lot of extra square footage in my house, two empty rooms, so why not have a couple of really good hockey players come?
Teach you how to play goalie.
Exactly. That's one benefit of you guys are going to teach me how to be the best goalie in beer league. But also you get compensated for it. You get season tickets. You get exclusive, events and opportunities.
That's cool. But they're coming in from other markets.
Yeah, they're coming in from all across the country in Canada and sometimes overseas. So, I was interested by that, and I'm going to check it out tonight to see what that's going to be like. But
You want to find out more about them, you can go to ColoradoGritHockey.com.
I think it's Greeley Grit. Is it Colorado? No, it's Greeley.
Colorado Grit, according to the website.
Darn.
Which has a picture of the ice house on it.
Okay, well, I know. Whatever.
Maybe they changed it in the last five minutes.
6 days, maybe.
And they're going to more to come. But where are they playing?
They're playing at the ice house.
Yeah, nice.
Friends of mine who've been playing in hockey leagues, that I've been a part of, have been billet families before, mm-hmm. and they're like big brothers to family members that you have. They'll go to family events. They'll go to. I don't know. I don't know much about it, but one of them was a referee for the most recent hockey tournament that I was in.
Kind of like a college exchange student kind of thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's so I figured this will be kind of neat.
So you're going to try to give them pointers, and they're going to be like, Nick,
yeah, okay, whatever.
Stop.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to take them to drop in.
You're going to show up some of your highlight reels.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, these kids are good
at. What are you doing tonight?
Yeah. Yeah. You guys want to go do a drop in? You watch some videos on YouTube of just juniors players because they are incredible. They're almost professional athletes. I think they get scholarships to do this. I can't be sure if they get paid, but that next level up is professional hockey, and they're all gunning for it. They're all just – it's stupid to watch. Any level of hockey at that level, I'm thinking college and above, is fun hockey to watch, and it just – knocks itself up a level every tier you go up from when the Eagles were in the ECHL to the AHL. That was a huge jump, major difference in play. And then, of course, you go to AHL to NHL, and a lot of those players can bounce around a bit, but it's still a different level of play on the NHL to even the AHL.
Yeah, well, and with every generation, right, these players that are that need to get to that next level, it just gets heightened. So these kids mm-hmm. nowadays in these sports, if you're not starting them when they're three and having like personal trainers and paying for these leagues, it's tough.
Oh, and it's right? costly. I mean, it's extremely six costly. To 10,000 a year if you want to be on a traveling, you know, peewee team. Ridiculous. The latest the buzz in the NHL right now is Connor Bedard. And he is a generational player. They're calling him on the same caliber of Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby, and they think he might be even more than that. I mean, some people have tossed around the potential new Wayne Gretzky, but the kid is just astronomically good. At 17 years old, he's going to be the number one draft pick this year, which the Chicago Blackhawks, my hometown team, well, not my hometown team, my neighboring team, are going to pick him up. If they don't, I will riot, and I will burn them to the ground. Probably can't have that threat on air, but they'd be ridiculous if they don't bring in Connor Bedard. But just even YouTube him, he's just remarkable, phenomenal.
Yeah, incredible athletes, all of them. I did a short little documentary when I was in college for my undergrad on the Colorado Crush, and one of the players who was trying to go play for them, and he had played at CSU, played for a couple other teams. And I walked in there and I was like, these guys are just – they're built different. They're huge. And, you know, for me, I'd gotten out of the Marines. And so I felt like I was pretty tough and pretty buff. And no, I mean, these guys look like monsters.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is not the NFL. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the minor leagues of football.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Different level.
Well, Emilio, thank you so much for being on. It's an honor to share an entire hour with you, unlike that last time.
You're welcome.
Thank you again, my friend, for covering. This has been Nick Snacks. I got Micah behind the glass, Emilio, and myself, and that's our cutoff.